below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to Season 6 of our Planet Earth series, in which we look at how space technology is helping us understand our home planet. And this episode, we're going to be looking at a number of things, including the SWAT mission.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless.
The Earth's geocenter is the center of mass of our home planet. At the foundation of virtually all airborne, space-based and ground-based Earth observations is the terrestrial reference frame. This frame relies on an accurate calculation of the geocenter. Knowing where the center of the Earth is should, you might think, be a simple thing. Wrong. One complication is that the geocenter is continually changing with respect to the Earth's surface. By using a network of ground stations equipped with telescopes and lasers that fire pulses at specific satellites, scientists can calculate where the geocenter of the Earth is at any given time to a few millimeters to ensure Earth observations are accurate. This feature from the Goddard Space Flight Center explains.
Where are you right now? Or better yet, how do you know where you are? Most likely, you are using an app that is using a GPS to pinpoint where exactly you are on Earth. But what you might not know is that behind your favorite navigation app is an invisible infrastructure of systems working together to provide you an accurate location. And at the foundation of these systems is a TRF, or Terrestrial Reference Frame.
So, reference frame is fundamental to any kind of mapping, location, positioning, navigation application.
That's Dr. Stephen Merkowitz, NASA's Space Geodesy Project Manager. Simply put, geodesy is the science of measuring and understanding the shape of the Earth, its orientation in space and gravity, and how they change over time.
Earth is constantly changing shape, and the land masses are constantly moving. It's at small levels, so it's not something you would feel, you know, yourself. So we're constantly measuring what's happening with the Earth as a whole and the Earth's surface.
To do this, NASA and international partners monitor measurement stations dotted across the globe that help us determine where, how much, and in which direction our planet is changing.
Since the Earth's surface is always moving, any measurement isn't just in a fixed coordinate system. It needs to take into account the fact that it's related to the landmass and where that landmass is at any given time.
And just like a coordinate system plotted on a piece of paper, the TRF has an origin, or in this case, the center mass of the Earth, called the geocenter. Because of this, many Earth-observing satellites orbit around the center mass of the Earth, not the Earth's geographic center. So it's critical for scientists to pinpoint where that is to make sure our Earth observations are accurate.
One complication is that the center of mass of the Earth is constantly changing over time with respect to the Earth's surface.
Earthquakes, volcanoes, or even atmospheric pressure changes all impact where exactly the center mass of the Earth is. But by using a network of ground stations equipped with telescopes and lasers that fire pulses at specific satellites, scientists can calculate where the geocenter of the Earth is at any given time to a few millimeters.
This is a very important product that we generate for orbiting satellites, particularly for missions that are either doing mapping the gravitational field of the Earth or mapping the height of the Earth's surface, whether it be land, vegetation, or sea level. We make that available to the public, and we use the data there to generate a higher level products, geodetic products that can be used by NASA missions for many scientific applications. Since this is a global measurement, NASA can't do it alone. We rely on the global community to provide all the data that's needed to provide global coverage.
Having an agreed-upon international system is what makes measuring our planet possible. whether it be from land, sea, air, or even space.
And we thank the Goddard Space Flight Center for that report. Last week, we were looking at the SWOT satellite, S-W-O-T. And this is a satellite that was launched in December the 16th of 2022. We're going to have more about that satellite on today's show. Tahani Aima is a hydrographer with the SWOT mission.
When you turn the faucet, we take it automatically that the water will come. There's places in the world don't have this opportunity. My name is Tahani Aima, and I work at NASA as a program executive, and I'm excited to be part of the SWOT team because water unites us all. SWOT is one of my missions, and my function is to ensure SWOT mission success. Working with NASA taught me one thing, is to be a team player and to work with hundreds, sometimes thousands of people. And you really need to appreciate everybody in the team and be able to work together. So collaborations and relationship build bridges, and SWOT will be that bridge across the world. SWOT is a very unique project. We need to understand the water cycle in a lot of detail. And SWOT is going to be one of the first satellites that will measure global water. So we'll have a better understanding of our water and our water accessibility. We have to be able to understand the changes of the water around us, and then we can conserve water. My father used to work in water too. He used to work for the Nile River, for the high dam in Egypt. Growing up in Egypt, my dad was always encouraging me. He said, boys and girls, there is no difference between them. And my dad was the one who was really supporting me to do science. In my face gave me the confidence and the strength to do more so I can show the whole world that Muslim woman can do anything she wants to. One of my passions right now is making sure that everybody has a voice in the table and to have a pipeline with the new, fresh ideas from young engineer and scientists. What I love about SWOT is water is the birth of everything. And it's very rewarding to me that I can do even a baby steps to save our planet.
I'm Mark Simard. I'm a SWOT principal investigator, and I study the dance between the tides and the rivers. I'm from Quebec, Canada, from a city called Jonquière. I started studying physics with specialization in astrophysics and became enamored with the environment, and I actually became president of the environmental club. I did a switch and I started to apply what I learned in physics to the environment.
So here is a water level gauge.
Water level gauges, you know, are sparse points here and there. SWOT, on the other hand, will give us these same types of measurement on the ocean, the lakes and rivers of the entire globe. The Mississippi River Delta currently is losing land at a rhythm of about one football field every hour. There are about 350 million people living on deltas around the world. They live from the fisheries, the agriculture, the aquaculture from those deltas. So if we lose those deltas, we're not only talking about losing land, we're also talking about losing livelihood for millions of people. SWOT data will give us a global perspective of how these deltas can survive and keep up with sea level rise and other impacts of climate change. I'm looking at the deltas around the world. It's an extremely dynamic area. It's like the river is dancing with the ocean. This work is meaningful to me. It has a direct impact on those millions of people that live from the resources of these deltas. So I think finally I found a meaning to all of my research.
I'm Cedric David, and I study the world's rivers. SWOT is a mission that is specifically designed in part to observe rivers, and it's also being designed jointly by NASA and the French Space Agency. I was born in France, but I've lived in the US for 18 years now, and I study rivers. So SWOT is a little bit of a match made in heaven for me. The kind of science that I'm interested in is trying to understand how much water flows down the rivers of the world, and SWOT will be able to make one such measurement for all of the largest rivers of the world. So we'll be able to get a global unified picture of surface waters from space. This in itself will be a scientific revolution. I think that's going to have a big impact on water management. Planning for future generations requires us understanding how much water we have. And SWOT will be able to provide that global view of the world's fresh waters. And in my opinion, it might very well become the key that unlocks surface water observations around the world and unleashes surface water management. So it might help us make sure that everybody gets access to fresh water. Now more than ever, it's important to recognize that water connects us all, and it might be the one thing that unites us all.
NASA has 24 satellites and instruments on orbit today looking back at the Earth to study how the whole Earth works as a system, from the atmosphere to the oceans, land, ice, and even the subsurface. This year, we're launching 10 more instruments and missions, and SWOT is by far the most ambitious of these. SWOT will give us an unprecedented view of our planet's water system. SWOT is going to fundamentally change the way we understand the water cycle. Our Earth is a water planet, and the water we need to live on land originates in the ocean, and it's delivered to us by the atmosphere, and it eventually returns back to the ocean. Second to the air we breathe, water is fundamental for life, and SWOT is going to help us understand how to manage that precious resource in the future.
And since its launch, SWOT has certainly delivered on that promise. And that was Karen Saint-Germain, the director of the Earth Science Division at NASA headquarters. Now, let's hear more about SWOT.
SWOT is a Pathfinder mission using new technology to address, I would say, transformative questions on climate change and its impact on our environment, in particular the ocean and the surface water on land. SWOT will be observing the elevation of water surface in the ocean, on the land. In the ocean, we call it sea surface height. You know, that will allow us to calculate the speed and direction of ocean currents. Over land, the water surface height will allow us to assess the water storage in lakes and the stream flow of rivers. So SWOT observation basically addresses two key elements of the Earth system in relation to climate change, the energy and the water cycles.
The voice of Li Leong Fu, a project scientist with SWOT. He works at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Researchers from the University of Western Australia are collaborating with the Australian Institute of Marine Science to use data from the SWOT satellite to see if they can predict strong currents off Australia's northwest coast. The goal is to create tools that could improve the decision making of those working in the Bowen, in the broom. I wrote Bros. In the Broome Basin. The basin is northwest of Broome and covers an area of more than 200,000 square kilometres. Strong currents in the basin are variable in scale and duration and are difficult to predict. To supplement the SWOT data, scientists have deployed instruments from a research vessel to measure ocean properties and currents from the surface to the ocean floor. Well, this is The Space Show.
Southern FM.
The sounds of the Bayside.
Planet Earth is blue.
As the United States reduces its Earth observation programs under the influence of climate change skeptic Donald Trump, new funding is being made available here in Australia. The Queensland Earth Observation Hub, supported by Adelaide's SmartSat Cooperative Research Centre and the Queensland Government, is funding five new projects. One aim is to accelerate the growth of the Earth observation industry here in Australia. The project, called Cost-Effective and Scalable Weed Mapping, is led by the University of the Sunshine Coast.
This collaborative project, led by HQ Plantations and the University of the Sunshine Coast in partnership with GeoImage, tackles the growing challenge of woody weed infestations in early-stage pine plantations. Currently, plantation managers rely on manual field surveys to monitor weeds, which is time-consuming, labor-intensive, and often limited in coverage across large plantation estates. Ineffective or delayed weed management during the critical first 5 years can significantly reduce tree growth and long-term productivity. To address this, the project is developing a user-friendly, web-based tool that uses high-resolution satellite imagery and LiDAR data to automatically detect and map broadleaf woody weeds. By integrating multispectral and hyperspectral satellite data with advanced artificial intelligence and data fusion techniques, the tool will distinguish weeds from pine trees and accurately assess their distribution. The system will be validated through field work with HQ Plantations and developed in close collaboration with forest managers to ensure its practical application. This innovative solution combines the strengths of forestry, academic research, and geospatial expertise to deliver a scalable, cost-effective approach to weed monitoring. It supports precision weed management, reduces dependence on manual surveys, and improves plantation performance. The project also contributes to broader environmental management goals and helps position Australia at the forefront of space-based monitoring technologies tailored to local ecosystems.
A second project, called Ecosystem Valuation Models in the Torres Strait, is led by Queensland University of Technology.
The Smart Coast Phase 2 project is a collaboration between Fugro, Queensland University of Technology, and EOMAP, a Fugro company. Building on the hub-supported Smart Coast Digital Twin project, this initiative will develop and scale a net ecosystem value framework using advanced Earth observation fusion data, including LiDAR and satellite imagery, to accurately value and monitor coastal ecosystems in the Torres Strait and other coastal communities. The project tackles a major challenge faced by these communities: the difficulty of translating ecosystem services into investment-ready financial models, which limits access to blue finance opportunities like carbon and biodiversity credits. By improving valuation accuracy and linking ecological data with financial and policy decision makers, Smart Coast Phase 2 seeks to unlock new funding pathways for climate adaptation and sustainable coastal management. With a strong focus on economic modelling led by Queensland University of Technology, the project will deliver a scalable, investment-ready tool and a decision support platform. These innovations will provide dynamic, real-time ecosystem service valuations, enabling the bundling of multiple conservation projects into a single finance mechanism and driving better informed management decisions. This cutting-edge integration of Earth observation data, economic expertise, and community engagement not only promotes environmental sustainability, but also advances Australia's earth observation industry by showcasing practical, scalable solutions to pressing environmental and financial challenges.
The University of Southern Queensland will lead the Desert Channels Climate Resilience Insights pilot project.
This project addresses the pressing challenges faced by graziers managing over 500,000 square kilometres of arid and semi-arid rangelands in central and southwest Queensland. These regions experience highly variable rainfall and increasingly severe droughts, making timely, fine-scale data essential for effective drought preparedness, water management, and livestock nutrition planning designed for arid and semi-arid rangelands. Current tools offer broad regional data, but lack the paddock-level detail required for precise decision-making. Led by Desert Channels Queensland, with technical expertise from the University of Southern Queensland, this project integrates multiple Earth observation datasets from satellites such as Sentinel-2, MODIS, SMOS, GRACE, and SWOT, with localized ground observations to deliver an operational pilot platform tailored to regional needs. The platform will provide near real-time, high-resolution insights on critical indicators including rainfall onset, green dates for pasture recovery, water availability, soil moisture, temperature extremes, and pasture suitability. Developed through a co-design process with local stakeholders, the tool supports graziers and natural resource managers by enhancing drought resilience and sustainable grazing practices. This project lays the groundwork for a scalable commercial platform with potential to expand across Queensland and to similar environments globally, ultimately improving climate adaptation and natural resource management through advanced geospatial intelligence.
Coastal erosion is a big problem for some communities, including the city of the Gold Coast.
This project is a collaboration between Griffith University, the City of Gold Coast, and EOMAP, a Fugro company, and is focused on improving coastal management using satellite-derived bathymetry. The challenge lies in monitoring dynamic nearshore environments like the Nerang River entrance, where sand movement affects navigation, coastal protection, and surf quality. Traditional survey methods such as bathymetric soundings are expensive, limited in coverage, and often impractical during or after storm events, such as 2025's Tropical Cyclone Alfred. The solution leverages satellite imagery and satellite-derived bathymetry to provide high-resolution, historical, and real-time data on underwater topography and sediment movement. This project will validate the accuracy of satellite-derived bathymetry against traditional surveys and apply it to map and understand changes in the Gold Coast Seaway Delta system, including surf zones and sand bypassing operations. By doing so, it addresses key questions around sediment transport, dredging impacts, and surf quality, all of which are critical for public safety, coastal infrastructure, and tourism. This represents a major innovation in coastal monitoring, enabling more frequent, cost-effective, and retrospective data capture in challenging environments. The outcomes will inform better decision-making for local government and create new commercial opportunities for SDB applications globally.
The efficiency of Earth observation from satellites and aircraft can be improved by using advanced computer algorithms. Griffith University and Macquarie University are teaming up to advance satellite-derived environmental intelligence.
This project, led by GeoNadir in collaboration with Griffith and Macquarie Universities, aims to transform environmental monitoring by combining high-resolution drone data with satellite imagery. Traditional satellite methods provide broad coverage, but lack the fine detail needed for precise habitat assessments, while drone data offers detailed insights limited to smaller areas. GeoNadir will collaborate with world-leading researchers to develop an AI-driven feature density scaling workflow that integrates these data sources within GeoNadir's platform, allowing users to generate accurate, percentage-based measurements of key environmental features such as vegetation density and marine habitats from common satellite products such as Sentinel-2 imagery. This approach moves beyond simple habitat classifications to deliver richer, more actionable environmental intelligence. By embedding this innovative workflow into GeoNadir's existing commercial SaaS platform, the project makes advanced environmental analysis accessible and scalable for a wide range of users, including conservation managers, fisheries, mining companies, and natural capital assessors. In line with GeoNadir's ethos, the tool simplifies complex data processing, removing technical barriers and enabling efficient monitoring and management of ecosystems at regional and national scales. This will enhance environmental decision-making, support regulatory compliance, and open new commercial opportunities, strengthening Queensland's and Australia's capabilities in earth observation and environmental science.
These and other projects were showcased last week in Brisbane. Now, after nearly two decades of providing never-before-seen details of cloud vertical structure, the CloudSat mission has ended. Oh, dear. Originally proposed as a 22-month mission, the spacecraft was decommissioned in March this year. After 18 years of observations, CloudSat had reached the end of its lifespan and was no longer able to make regular observations. Its orbit has been lowered into what is called a graveyard orbit. That is one that will rapidly decay due to atmospheric drag and cause it to disintegrate in the Earth's atmosphere. CloudSat's measurements have been used in thousands of research publications and will continue to be analysed to make key discoveries. Well, this on the Space Show has been our Planet Earth episode.
This is Planet Earth. You're looking at Planet Earth. Bop, 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 bop.